I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 584. It's not the worst anime I've ever seen, but... Alright, this is Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey, bro.
How you doing?
I'm alive. I'm good.
Hey, you winning.
Rest in peace, Caesar salad.
Oh, yeah. Gotta drop the romaine for a hot minute.
Man. Like, I'm mad because, like, I've been hungry for a Caesar salad, and of course, this is the time that there's been the recall on
romaine. Girl, just move to Field Greens for a bit.
It's like, just, I don't want to be getting no E. coli.
Just move to Field Greens for a hot minute. Just remember, right now, salad can kill you. Bacon can't.
I know. Which is why I had some this morning. But that's neither here nor there.
That's the world that we live in right now. Like, salad can kill you.
Yep.
A little bit of bacon, good for you.
I mean, you could choke on bacon and die.
You could choke on bubblegum and die.
I mean, granted, now we got super ticks out there that make you, like, not be able to eat meat no more. Vegetarian ticks.
Everything out in the world is trying to kill us.
Like, one wants to take away the one green I'll eat. The other thing wants to take away the thing I eat all the time.
You know, here's the thing, okay? You're gonna die. From the moment that you were born, you're gonna die. So you might as well enjoy the ride for as long as you can.
I don't know.
Because you're not guaranteed a long ride to begin with.
Who believe a lot differently. That we need to have a different discussion about death and, like, not taking it lying down. And it's like, but... people have been dying for generations now.
I mean, it's kind of the natural way of humanity.
Like,
so accept it.
I mean,
like, y'all need to get
to
acceptance.
Down some aging.
Okay.
And maybe find better healthcare to prolong
this is not
life.
Resident Evil. Okay. You're going to die. Enjoy the ride. Don't take shit too seriously. Have fun. Find somebody. Love somebody. Ride a roller coaster.
I mean, love multiple people if that's
I mean,
your
if
thing.
That's your thing, you can do that too. Okay? Right. Ain't no shame in the game. Okay?
To each their own.
But, like, enjoy the ride, because you don't know how long it's going to be. That's all I'm going to say. The more you know. So now that we're through the morbid thing.
I know, right? Because every Esh episode has one of those.
You know, there's like a moment. We have the moment, okay?
We just have to be real with you guys. Like,
right.
You can't sugarcoat everything. Life sometimes sucks. Sometimes you pee yourself.
What I'm going to promise right now, I'm not even engaging in that. What I'm going to promise right now is as much as I wanted to talk about Kanye on this podcast, this isn't really the place to do it, so I'm not going to do it.
Girl.
But I really wanted to. Not going
Why
to.
Why not? Why don't
But
we?
I really wanted to. Because I kind of want to do like just a video about it instead of taking over a podcast, because I really feel like for this conversation, y'all need to see my face and the reaction that I'm having. It's not the same when it's just audio. So
can we at least talk about that TMZ guy dropping the truth?
Look, Van, look. I don't have a lot of respect for TMZ.
Neither
okay?
do I, but...
But I have a lot of respect for Van being like, no, this is not okay, and I'm not going to let this rest, and just speaking his mind. Like, I appreciate him sharing his honesty and his truth and speaking to entitled power with just reality, okay? And not from a place of malice, because it would have been easy to do that, but just honestly sharing his thoughts. So, you know, just big up to Van. I respect that so much. Okay, and I will have a video because I also want to talk about Wendell Pierce's rebuttal.
Yes.
Which was just, you want to talk about mic drops, just woof. Like, even I.
Like, his was like a fine Earl Grey tea in the fanciest of teacup rebuttals.
Right.
His and Van's was just like raw, real,
just like, nah,
in
dude, just like, I'm not here for it. And Wendell Pierce was like, sir, fucketh yourself.
Yeah, like, it was.
And all the bullshit which you have brought upon us today.
Beautiful rainbow of reactions.
Fuck it, all of it. And I was like, yeah. So I am gonna record a video next week talking about Ye and this whole bullshit that is spewing forth from his mouth. But that's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about games and anime. I've been promising you guys anime conversation for a while.
I'm gonna talk anime this week.
I'm gonna talk anime this week. You're gonna talk anime this week. We're gonna get you filled with the anime. First up, get hype, get excited. Season 2 Castlevania coming in the summer.
Woohoo!
I'm hoping that it's not late summer, like August.
But yeah, but let's be real though, because
and it needs to be more than four episodes. Netflix needs to stop fucking with me.
One, like the first bit was like fine wine. It was delicious. The animation was spot on. It felt completely believable. Belmont, yep. Like, I haven't had a husbando in a long time. And I'm just like, Belmont.
Definitely husbando material.
I might need to, like, sit down and process this for a moment.
You might need to crack open a journal.
I may need to, in case of emergency, break glass husbando.
Yeah.
Kind of here in a moment. Yep. I'm not too sure. But the thing that I, walking away from Castlevania, for me, was, like, they gave us such a tasty morsel in those four episodes.
Yeah. And yeah, they, like, really, they packed them up well. Oh, they did.
And I was like, four is not enough.
Right. So that's where I chime in here with, I'm excited for the second season of the Castlevania anime on Netflix, but I need Netflix to not fuck with me. It has to be more than four episodes.
It needs to be more.
Because, like, I will take
in the four episodes that we got, like, they set up a decent amount of, like, the beginning, but right. Like, Castlevania's got a
but lot not from the of, beginning of time lore either, no. Which I appreciated.
So, like, but, like, it's not, I don't think it was structurally sound enough to, like, I don't know how they sat at a table and they're like, yeah, this will be where we end and we all feel good about this. Because,
well,
like,
I think it was kind of a two-piece thing, okay? You know, Netflix, early on when they were bringing anime out on the streaming piece, it wasn't very diverse. And in all honesty, there wasn't really a lot there. And so, you know, you had the rising of Funimation and Crunchyroll, and they have some very strong distribution deals. There wasn't really a lot left over for Netflix to get a hold of, and so they kind of pulled back from anime for a while.
That's why they got into the original game,
and that's why they got into the originals game, because, you know, they weren't going to be a Funimation on US distribution from many of the partnerships that they have with, you know, Bandai Namco and at the time Studio Gonzo, and you know,
Aniplex.
I mean, Aniplex, Kadokawa, like, they had a lot of really strong deals that were already established, so, you know, there wasn't an ability to break into those houses to get content from them. And so I do think that it was a smart move on Netflix's part to really kind of focus on, okay, we'll do originals then, and we'll partner with, you know, some lesser known but well established houses that are doing manga, that they're looking for lucrative deals to create anime version and distribution. And as long as we can make them Netflix originals and they're just available on our platform, then that's the deal that we'll go with. And so you start seeing things like Kakarikyo and Ido and Knights of Sidonia. And Sidonia was really the first outing on the original side of anime that did really well for them. And so, you know, the Castlevania piece, which there've been a lot of places that were talking about trying to do a Castlevania anime for quite some time. I'm really glad to see it on Netflix. I enjoyed the first four episodes unbelievably to the max. I thought that the Netflix team did a really good job. They picked the right partners, the right storytellers, the right animation house. You know, it has the kind of edgy, dark feel that a Castlevania piece should.
It kind of reminded me of like Helsing meets Trigun.
But not Ultimate.
No, not.
It felt like a step down, well, two steps down from Ultimate.
I'd say two steps down and one slide to the right.
Yeah. Two steps down like and a slide. Slide.
Not to the right. Big long legs and it's long gone. It's like a sidestep to the right.
No, it's a slide to the right because it is much softer than Helsing Ultimate. I don't know that I've seen anything.
I wouldn't say that necessarily because I feel like There's a lot of stuff that they're obviously keeping for the second season. And I mean, I hate to say Panda. It, but I mean, Castlevania is not a light
It's not a light piece at all. But what I'm saying is, what we've seen so far, because, like, we can't cast aspersions on that which has not come yet, right?
Right.
So what we've seen so far, I mean, compared to all of Helsing Ultimate, I'm sorry, vampire Nazis, like, I don't know that Castlevania anywhere in its existing lore has anything as scary or as dark as in its existing lore.
Okay.
I don't know if they're going to make something new, but if we're just going off of the existing story of the Belmonts and Dracula, okay, it's going to get to Bram Stoker level, but it's not going to get to Helsing Ultimate level, in my opinion.
Well, I'm just saying, if Castlevania, we probably wouldn't have had a Helsing. So.
Right. Ultimate went to some excruciatingly troubling places.
Yes, it had to.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. And I think that Castlevania can go to some very dark places, but I don't know that it can go to excruciating places. Now, they might surprise me.
But you're not going to hold your breath, though.
Right. Ceres's whole thing, when she has her flashbacks of what actually happened to her mother. I don't imagine that popping up anywhere.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So this is what I'm saying. Like, remember Helsing Ultimate. Not Helsing. Because I think that, like, Helsing is probably where Castlevania is going to end up. As far as its dark violence gore level. And twists. Okay, and Helsing was good. But Ultimate kicked it up some odd number of levels. And went to, like I said, excruciating. Not uncomfortable, excruciating. Because watching that episode with Ceres as a child in the closet. Okay. I felt disgusted. Well, and I've watched some atrocious anime, okay? But I've never felt disgusted. I felt disgusted.
Hey, I mean, I played Enchanted Arms, so
Yeah, so we have different levels.
The bottom of the barrel.
You have. Your scale's a little bit different than mine.
There are things I have touched that I wish I hadn't.
Right. So all I'm saying is I think. I agree with you. Castlevania, its lore, and you know, the things that they've shown us so far, they're not stepping back in the Castlevania anime from violence, from language, from, you know, dealing with some serious trust and emotional issues. And I applaud them for it. I applaud them for that. All I'm saying is, I don't think that it's going to be Helsing Ultimate violence, gore, atrocious.
I think it's going to be
Helsing, which is plenty atrocious for most people.
I mean, yeah.
And at the same time, the balance of the positive stuff with the Belmonts actually hopefully overcoming the curse, you know, and winning and saving the world from damnation.
I mean, if they're going to stay in canon, I think there was, like, a couple of periods where there was, like, a brief reinstatement of, like, their... Because that's Belmont's thing, is he wants to restore his family's nobility. Because it got stripped when they were, like, you know, devil hunters and monster killers, even though, you know, without them, a lot of people would be dead.
Right.
Sure, they're dabbling in some dark arts, but people are alive, right?
Look, look, look. You gotta crack a couple of eggs to make an omelet. You're not gonna make an omelet without some cracked eggs.
And apparently, you know, and there's nothing
it's a
wrong
stir fry.
With nobility dabbling in the dark cult. I mean,
look,
you have
dark, sometimes,
you have Black Butler making deals with devils.
Look, look, look. I love Black Butler.
So noble.
I don't like circus. Well, I kind of like circus. I'm a weirdo. I kind of like circus.
Okay.
But.
We'll talk about that after the show.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Black Butler Circus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's like, in the whole run, there's like a few, I call them kind of phrases, where there's like a run of like three episodes together where I'm like, if you had just given me just this, I would be in love with all of this. And I don't need like the other shit you put around it.
Right.
Like, if you just made these three episodes, like, a one-off OVA, I would have been cool. And it's pretty much the last three episodes. I didn't need the run-up bullshit.
Nah, I just needed, oh, I'm going to take your shit from you. Oh, actually, I'm going to get the, oh, wait, spoilers. Stop myself right now.
Oh, look at you. See? See, but, like, really, and what you're talking about, though, if you think about all of Circus, is really just those last three episodes.
Yeah, because everything else is just filler.
Right.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't
and then the
say
run
that.
Through.
It's not filler. It's just that they want to establish that
they wanted to get a whole series out of it.
They wanted another series because, I mean, granted, when you have that cast, like, I
get
can
it.
See why they'd want to.
I get it.
You just, you know, then you sit around that table and you develop a better story.
Right.
And you definitively.
If you're not going to top two.
I mean, that last episode, though. Like,
yeah.
I love me a crisscross, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Mm.
It was a pretty good crisscross.
Like, it was.
I was like, ooh, that
right.
is like, that is like some nice seasoning on like.
Right. But
on a
but all I'm saying
meal.
Is like, if you can't. Going in, creating the story, top the second season, the second Black Butler, with its cross and the just the entire run through it. Okay, if you can't top that, don't go back in. And I feel like Circus was okay. We knocked it out of the park with one and two. Here we go. We can't go wrong. Here's the story, up to bat, and they bunted.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not the worst anime that I've ever seen, because, again, the anime style is really fantastic. You know, they didn't change any characters' designs dramatically, which sometimes when you switch anime houses, not everybody can draw everybody exact, but they do. Okay, the voice acting is on point. There's a lot of good that's in there, but story-wise, after going through the first Black Butler and the second, it doesn't really stack up as well. Those last three episodes, though, very much feel in line with one and two. Mm-hmm. So I feel like what they had was the idea for the OVA, and they tried to stretch it into a series.
Yeah. You're right.
When it's okay to just release the OVA. We'll still buy it. We'll still stream it. We'll still watch it. Don't believe me? Have you met Neon Genesis?
I mean, and that was coming out. Have you seen Akira? Like, come on.
Just, I mean, have you met Naruto? So, that's all I'm saying about Black Butler Circus. Anyway, that's not the main topic that I have. Like I said, I'm very excited about Castlevania coming this summer. I think again, I just want to implore Netflix, give me more than 4 episodes. I really want it to be like 12. If you can't give me 12, I'll take 8, but they need to be an hour and 20 minutes long.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You got to pack it full. Because there's a whole lot of lore for you to get through and a lot of characters that you can bring. And I want it. I want to experience it because you did a really good job drawing me in with your little 4-episode lanyap. Don't squander my attention. So, with that being said, I know that you have an anime that you wanted to get to last week, but I talked too damn much about God of War.
I mean, there was nothing wrong with our conversation about God of War, but yes, I do have an anime that I've been, I don't want to say itching to talk about.
Because it makes you sound like you have a habit?
It's just, there's a base level of reactions and feelings that I had while viewing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of want to, you know, verbalize them.
Uh-huh.
And see if these are feelings that other people also had about the series.
So ready your loins, guys, because we've got a blurbs of a feather for you right now coming up.
Because
we both have seen this and are going to talk about it. I'm going to shut up now.
I have not seen all of it yet, though. So, I mean,
I have watched every episode that is currently out.
Maybe it gets better, but let me get into it.
You go first.
Okay. So the anime I want to talk about this week is called Darling in the Franxx, which I had seen it.
One more time.
Darling in the Franxx.
Yes. Darling in the Franxx.
Yes. Which I had seen it pop up in the Crunchyrolls, and I was like, kind of looks Gundam wingy, but also kind of has like a Code Geass animation feel a little bit. I'm like, maybe, I'm not sure, I'll come back to it. And every time I would see it, I was like, no, I'm not ready for it yet. I'm not ready for it yet. And granted, my husband put it on one day, and I was like, what are you watching? And of course, it happened to be the thing I had been hesitant about jumping into. But sure enough, like, you've got your basic sci-fi setup. Post-apocalyptic future, set in space, it's actually, if I really kind of put it in a blender, it's kind of like Attack on Titan in space with mechas, but also a lot of elements of sex and dating.
So I would describe it more like Attack on Titan
in space with mechas.
Hold on. Attack on Titan and Goldenar.
I didn't see Goldenar.
No. Goldanar is the way it's spelled. Oh. You should, because it does the sexy mecha, like, in a really wrong way. Really wrong way.
I mean,
that this,
okay,
like, kind of taps into.
So let's get into this just a little bit for people who have not seen the show. So there are these mechanized suits that require, and like in every episode, someone likes to bring
They're called Franxx, by the way.
Yes, they're called Franxx. Every episode, somebody, usually the protagonist or somebody in the titular, like, group of characters in the story, always talk about this particular bird. I think it's called the Geon bird. And they are born with only one wing. And the only way they can fly is if they join with, like, if it's a male, it has to join with a female and vice versa, because they lean on each other and then they are able to fly as one.
Right, they're able to make a pair of wings.
A pair of wings to fly. And in this post-apocalyptic world, like, literally humanity is spread out on these different airshipy type things. And, like, they're colonies out in space.
Yeah, they're plantations.
Yeah. Which I don't even want to get into why they chose that word, but so be it. But anyway, the story takes place with Plantation, or at least with the primary focus being on Plantation 13.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of the episode of the whole series, you are introduced to this main character, Hero, who seems to be gung-ho about fighting, but he's like in shade, under a tree, and he's really bummed out, and you find out that he's being removed from the program to fly a Frank, because in order to fly this thing, you have to sync up your, I think for males, they have to have a negative energy that is equal to or in radius to the female who is literally jacking like her brain.
The males are the, so this is what I hate about the series. The males bring the positive energy. Okay. The females bring the negative energy.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way around.
Nope.
But literally the females are like powering up this machine with like their essence, and the dudes are piloting the machine. So unless they are relatively level, and I mean, there has been no perfect sync of this. Like, everyone generally
basically, the Frank is a Geon. It takes a male and a female together working, so it's both of their energies have to meet and be within, like, 10 of each other.
It seems. Because some of the pilots, like, they highly fluctuate, so, like, if you're not perfectly in sync with your partner, you can't even power the Frank.
Correct.
Like, the Franks will not move.
No.
And you see this in several episodes because, you know, while fighting, someone says something and then they're no longer completely in sync. But anyway, so Hero has been banned.
Because these are also all kids that are piloting.
These are all teenage
adults
kids.
Can't pilot them. That's a key thing.
Oh, well, I haven't gotten that far for the tilt yet. So if there's a reason for that, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, adults can't pilot them, only children.
So there's this group of 10 at the start of the episode, but then you find out that Hero and his partner, I think her name was
Naomi,
have been banned and taken off the program because they could not
sync.
Achieve the synchronization. And he, being an orphan, was like, you could stay here at the birdcage, because that's what they call him, because, you know, like, Gian Bird, you get it. You could stay here, or you could go back to, like, your orphan.
The nest.
And he was, like, ready to, like, leave, even though he has been training his whole life and, like, he is capable. And everyone thought he'd end up being the squad leader for Plantation 13. Like, all the other pilots were all, like, in awe of him. And for him to not be able to make this was, like, jarring to all of them. And they all have numbers associated with the program. And I guess the lower the number you are, kind of signifies how good you are. So if you're, like, in the low teens, you're, like, considered, like, elite, which he is. I think he is 16.
Hero is 16.
16. And, I mean, all these characters actually don't even have names. They all go by their numbers. But Hero, as a kid, as, like, a five-year-old kid, was like, well, the numbers can be kind of translated to names. And he literally gave all the kids on Plantation, in the program anyway, in Plantation 13, their names based off their number.
In his class at the plantation.
So the day that he is preparing to, like, leave, like, his sister, quote, who's definitely into him, who really should just say
Ichigo's
something.
Not his sister.
No, but because they grew up in the birdcage together, like, some people see, they kind of have this weird family-ish connection, and, like, she's very close to him. And she's also, I think because of her number, she's 15, and she's actually the squad leader. And it's just because he got kicked out, I'm sure he would have been.
I thought Ichigo was 33.
No, she is 15, which is why Goro is like, you know, it's really weird how close you are to him. But, I mean, you guys are really close in number. Like, he brings it up all the time.
Oh.
Because I think he's kind of jealous.
I didn't pick up in that.
He low-key jealous. But anyway, so the day that Hero is, like, preparing to, like, go back to the nest and, like, to leave this program that he doesn't want to, him and his ex-partner, Naomi, are on this thing, and they're having this really jarring discussion because it kind of makes it sound like she feels like it's her fault that they could not sync up. And, I mean, I think that there's some validity in that. But, like, she didn't want him to give up, and, like, maybe there'd be another person to come in who'd be able to sync up with him, and he'd be able to, you know, fly. You know, because that's, like, the goal, is to be able to pilot these mechas to fight the big bad, which we haven't even talked about yet. So, in this universe, in space, the big bad is called, I think it's, like, Klaxors. And they're kind of like weird space dinosaur demon monster things. And as of episode, I think I'm on episode 5, they have now just discussed that as far as humanity is concerned, they're only aware of 4 different types of these Klaxamores. Mm. So that clearly, in my mind, tells me that they're going to come across one that they have not encountered yet, ever, or it's going to just open up and they're going to see multiple ones as the story progresses.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, a giant Klaxor shows up on the day that all the Franks are essentially being, like, the graduating class is going to, like, become official pilots, and mm-hmm. kind of crashes the ceremony in front of Daddy and the adults. Because as Ninja was talking about...
Papa. Because it's not... No. That's what makes it uncomfortable. So okay, Papa. Say it right. Papa.
Papa. And, it's just dripping in uncomfortableness. So it ruins the court, like, it ruins the whole ceremony. And at the same time, there is this female who goes by 002. So clearly she's, like, elite of the elite.
Yeah. You know?
And, I mean, I didn't want to say that she's, like, her personality is kind of tsundere, but... like, her energy is...
It is.
Not yandere, but it's not... like, it's kind of a mix of tsundere and yandere. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of flips. But anyway, 002, you know, pink hair. She actually kind of looks similar to... if you took Fooly Cooly's main female character, gave her pink hair, like, gave her long pink hair. And, like, she kind of gives you that kind of vibe. But...
she looks like a character out of Elfin Lied.
No, she does not look like
Lucy. With horns. Yes,
no, she does not look like Lucy.
I didn't say she looked like Lucy. I said she looks like a character, like, out of Elfin Lied.
You can see that she... all right, there's some similarities in that. And she does. She has these red horns. And mm-hmm. the thing about her is she is not all human. She has blood of the Klaxor in her. And I think that's where her horns come from. And...
I'm gonna fuck your Christmas so much on this whole thing.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm ready for it because I need something. But anyway, like, she has a really bad reputation among the plantations of being a partner killer.
Mm-hmm.
Because any... and I'm going to get this wrong, because they use flower parts to talk about the teams. So mm-hmm. you have your stamen.
Yep, stamen.
Which is your male, the male part of the flower.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the pistil? Pistil?
Yes.
Pistil?
Yes. Pistil.
And it's the girl part. And mm-hmm. that's why you need both of them to make the Franks. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. And I mean, all the Franks...
you need a pistil and a stamen to make a Franks.
To make a Franks. And all of the mechas are named after flowers. Mm-hmm. Also, just so you get that. But mm-hmm. anyway, no stamen.
So what the hell is Streliza then?
I don't know. But she's a part of a totally different... like, these Franks in particular for Plantation 13 are all named after flowers. They're very unique because they were all kind of thrown in really, like, last minute. Like, okay, guys, we got to get this going because shit's getting real. Which they also talk about. So there's all the insecurity and learning on the job and stuff like that. But...
yeah, I have some things to say about that, too.
But every stamen who has linked with her... in the Franks, none of them have lived past their third ride. And, like, no one is exactly sure why or how, or at least in the episodes that I've watched, you're like, everyone's heard the rumors, but, like, no one has ever seen it happen until, like, episode 2, when she shows up with her partner, who's already pretty banged up.
And on life support.
And, like, barely hanging on.
And then dies.
So, sure enough, what happens in this episode is the Klaxor is fighting, and she can pilot her Franks by herself. It cannot assume its humanoid form.
Correct.
Though, because it's just her.
So, it's basically like a lion from Voltron, guys. Yeah.
So, she's running around in lion form, but, like, she can't assume her full ability because she's not linked up to anybody. And the duty calls and Hero like, wants to help his friends because, like, they just kind of graduated and now they got to kind of fight this thing. And, like, they're still trying to figure all this stuff out. And she invites him into her Franks and then, like, they kick so much ass and he's able to link up with her. However, he's unconscious for the first encounter, but he survives it. Like, he takes a beating and, like, faints, but he ain't dead. He ain't like her old Stemmin, who was, like, literally bleeding from the eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, like, he's able to deal with whatever is causing mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And they haven't discussed what that is yet mm-hmm. either.
Mm-hmm.
So, I keep hearing them talk about, like, polluted Stemmin and, like...
Oh, I can't wait till it's my turn to talk.
But anyway, so 002 wants to pretty much take Hero and make him her Stemmin. And he wants to because he wants to be a part of the action. He wants to fight and defend, even if it kills him. So, like, she's all about, you know, fighting the best fight. Like, she kind of gets off on fighting and fighting a lot. And, like, you don't know what mm-hmm. her motivations exact, you know, like, she wants to kill the Klaxors, but, like, there's more to it than that.
There is.
I know it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because, you know, for someone who has a disregard for all the authority, she still shows up and performs.
Right.
So I'm like, your motivation's a lot more deep-seated than that. And I think Hero's motivation to want to protect is probably on the same level, but for a different reason. Like, they're like, they don't care what happens to them. They want to fight.
Something.
Mm-hmm. There is something mm-hmm. they're getting from it. For mm-hmm. him, it's mm-hmm. it's the most he feels alive. Granted. Ah!
Go ahead.
And I mean, for her, like I said, I haven't figured out what her deal is yet. But there's a lot of sexual connotations and notations, because I mean, when the females hook up into the Franks, they're literally like in these white tight suits in doggy position with handles on their hips, because, you know, that's hot. And
first of all, Panda, get it right. They're in the downward facing dog position with their arms and legs in holes.
Yeah.
So it's not like they have free motion.
Right.
And then the handles by which the male stamens take control so they can pilot.
Yeah. It's
come flying out from not necessarily their hips, but that area right off of the hip that's right on the butt, but not part of the butt.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, and they just grab those, and I'm like...
And then as they grab them, lights...
And they have, this monitor on the back of their head.
Before you even get to the monitor, they have a series of lights that run up their spine. And they, as the males take hold of the handles, they make a motion and a noise, which you typically see in hentai as the, oh, you're in there.
Yeah.
Motion.
Because they're then the lights into begin to each light up. Energy.
Then the lights begin to light up their spine, leading to the monitor that then shows how in sync the male and female side is. And so you want that to be in the upper 90s to 100.
You want it within 10%, I think 10.
For each. But for to know that things are going to be successful throughout a whole thing, that number should really be in the high 90s to the 100. And what's interesting is the first time that Hero connects with 02, they're over 100.
So it's like, oh, damn.
I didn't notice it until the second time I watched that episode.
So it's like, holy shit. Now, granted, all the red tape bureaucracy, no. Hero can't, you know, we can't have him with 02 because, one, she'll kill him. You know, like, they don't want to be like, the rumors are true, but they're also very aggressively like, no, the Stemmin cannot be with this pistol. Like, we can't have that happen. Like, no. No.
But no one will come out and clearly say why. But there is a reason, and everybody knows it.
But anyway, after the big fight with the big Klaxor, they don't have a lot of resources because they lost a lot in the fight. the episode that I got to is with Plantation 13 launching from its planet area to go kiss with Plantation 26, which is where they, it's like a gas drop, essentially. It's like an energy drop where they, transfer this energy that they use in the space, but it also attracts a lot of Klaxors. So they don't like to do it unless they absolutely have to. And obviously, the Franks from Plantation 13 being, fledglings and barely new would have to team up with the Franks from Plantation 26, which are far more seasoned. And you actually begin to notice that, when you see them fighting, that Plantation 26's Franks, are all uniform. They all look exactly the same. And I'm like, oh, there's something up with these Franks. These Franks from 13 are special. They're, experimental somehow, because if all the other plantations Franks are, uniform, why would they make these ones different? And you start noticing, because Plantation 13 starts talking to the Frank pilots from 26, and they're like, oh, has anyone from your class become an adult? One of the youngest, who's, that scrappy, I'll do whatever I want.
Yeah, because bitch. Every unit has to have one of those.
Everyone has an asshole, a young upstart asshole. But he's like, has anyone from your class, anyone graduated to become an adult? And I'm like, oh no, I bet these kids have been told that, after they do their service or whatever, when they do a good job, they go from being children to adults and get to do, get to live adult lives. And the leader of Plantation 26 is like, I'm not too sure what, and someone whispers to him and he's like, oh, that's what you mean. And he was like, not from our class. I've never heard of that happening. And it's like, oh shit, these kids, no one becomes an adult of these kids. Something happens, I think. I don't know. But they're hinting at the fact that, these kids have this conception of what their purpose is, and they may be being misled or not told everything, which happens a lot in these animes, because if they gave them everything, not all of them would participate. But there's this great tension between the male lead and the female lead. There's a really great angsty kind of love triangle-y thing, even though, none of these pairs are dating. They're just pilots in this mech, and, these dudes are all just looking at butts when they fight. I don't know how they're not getting boners.
So, are you ready for me to, tag in now?
Yeah, sure. Blow my mind, please.
Okay, so exactly how much do you want me to blow your mind?
I'm still gonna watch it, but you...
Okay, all right.
I'm not impervious to spoilers. They do not affect my viewing.
Okay, so for the rest of you guys listening, if you want to enjoy Darling in the Franxx on your own and get to the place where I am on your own, then stop listening to this podcast, watch the series, then when you finish it, come back. You'll have a bunch of giggles for sure. So, first and foremost, 02 is not human in any way.
Oh.
At all.
Okay.
And you learn that in later episodes.
Okay.
And...
because they're all talking like she has some class. They're not... they say that she's not fully human.
She's not human. She's taken on a humanoid form.
Okay.
And her appearance has become more human-esque, but she's not human.
Oh. That's why they don't want the boy.
Okay. Planting. But she has an amazing ability to pilot Franks. She's the only one that can pilot a Frank by herself in any form. So throughout the series, you never see anyone else jump in a Frank and get into lion form, because Threslisa, as far as the episodes that are out right now, is the only Frank that we have seen that has that ability.
Okay, and it's because of her, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm led to believe right now. Because okay. I've watched the first 12 episodes, and the 13th episode that is out is basically a filler episode where they talk No, they mostly do like a behind the scenes thing. They talk with some of the voice actors about bringing the characters to life. So it's basically an intermission.
Okay.
Okay. What you learn is that the plantations are contributing to the orphans that wind up at the nest. And in the garden at the nest is where they cultivate children, because children are the only people that have the ability to pilot the mechs.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it is children only of a certain age that have the ability. And so as to not create attachment to them, because many of them die in the piloting of Franks to protect the plantations, that's why they're all numbered. They aren't given names. They don't have parents. None of them have parents. None of the children have parents. So you're like, how do you guys make the children? There's an episode that the character that is the asshole gets separated from the group.
Okay.
And winds up in the city.
Oh, is he the asshole who has the bookworm girl for a pairing? Or is
No. The one that you were talking about that was asking, like, did anybody graduate to become an adult?
So he gets separated.
So the blondish-haired young punk of the group gets separated. In his separation, he gets hurt. He falls off a building because he goes up to the top of the building on an elevator and isn't paying attention when the elevator goes back down. So he attempts to climb down the building but misses, falls down some pipes, and is taken in by this woman who is an adult. And she's like, oh, I'll call immediately to have somebody come pick you up. And he's like, could you wait a little bit on that? Because I would like to talk with you. And she's like, okay, I guess. And so at that point, she takes her hood off and you can see that it is an elderly woman, probably somewhere in her late 60s, early 70s. So she goes off and makes some cookies and some tea and comes back, and he begins to pepper her with all kinds of questions. And you realize that part of the reason why these kids aren't popping boners in the situation that they're in as far as the piloting of the mechs is because they are completely oblivious to male-female relationships. The entire population is. So it's one of those situations where you've gotten into a future where human contact has been lost.
Oh, wow.
So, like, humans don't function in pairs. Very few do. And those that do are not necessarily doing it for relationship reasons. They are not engaging in any kind of sexual activity, not even for pleasure. They have these pods in their homes, which they get in to get their daily dose of happiness.
Wow.
And nutrients. So they don't make their own food. They all have these sacks that are right on their hearts that regulate their functions until it's time for them to no longer function.
Oh, shit.
Okay. And so in having this conversation where he only asks like 4 questions before the lady keels over and he's like, oh, my God. Do you need help? Should I get someone? How do I even get someone? She's like, no, it's just that I'm not used to talking for so long, so I'm just tired. And you're like, how are you tired from conversation? And she's like, well, I don't even talk with my partner. And he's like, you have a partner? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, we kind of, you know, thought that it would be good to partner in, like, the ways of old, you know, as a way to honor everyone that came before us. And he is introduced to the partner who is in one of the pods, smiling really big because he's getting his daily dose of happiness. And he's like, oh, well, when he comes out, you know, we can continue talking. And she's like, oh, he's not going to come out for quite some time. She's like, you know, in all honesty, I don't even remember the sound of his voice or the last time that we talked to each other. So humanity has become very disconnected.
Okay.
And so then again, you're left to wonder.
Just getting these things and they're not too worried about things being uncomfortable because there's nothing to get uncomfortable about.
Right. But ultimately they do, because you learn that this particular group is in fact an experiment. The doctor who created the Franks, and you do meet him. You see him in the first episode. He's the guy that kind of looks like Robotnik's older, less chunky brother with the half robotic face.
Yes. Okay.
Dr. Franks. He created the Franks. This is his experiment, this whole group. So he had them brought up in the garden differently than all the other groups that are very regimented. All their Franks look the same. Whereas this particular group, all their Franks have different abilities, different weapons, and their pilots, unlike the other groups who completely were devoid of...
I wouldn't say that, because Plantation, the squad pilot for 26, when he has his encounter with 02, it's like, your recklessness got my partner killed. Like, he is clearly upset.
He is upset, but again, doesn't know what the emotion is or how to funnel it, just that he doesn't want it. Most of the groups have all been brought up devoid of emotion or explanation of emotion. They're not allowed to exhibit any kind of behavior that is different from anybody else in the group. Whereas the group that is at Plantation 13 is completely different. And it's an experiment of Dr. Franks, because he believes that in order to actually beat the Klaxosaurs, they need to have that emotional aberration to bring out the specialness and uniqueness of thought in fight and of these Franks. So he devised these specialized Franks. These kids were picked specifically to pilot them and specifically to pair. And they have been allowed to be curious, ask questions. They were also granted the ability to do some things differently than other kids. You see in one episode where where Hero is like naming some of the kids and they're asking each other questions and things. You see one of these armed guards come and he starts to go like he's going to hit them to knock them back into line. And another guard stops and he goes, no, he's one of those 13s. And he goes, all right, well, fine, don't make so much noise, and walks away. So you realize in that moment that really these kids don't have value to these adults other than to pilot these robots and keep them safe. They don't see them as children. They don't value their innocence as children. And they also don't have any innocence as children. You move further along in the series and you start to see that puberty really does start hitting them, but they don't know what it is. They don't know what a kiss is. They've never been introduced to what a relationship is between a man and a woman.
Man, I thought it was so weird. I was like, the plantations are going to kiss.
Okay. Like, and so they don't know what a kiss is. Some of the girls have figured it out from other conversations, so they know, but the boys really don't. In one of the pairs, I call them the soft bunch, the quiet blonde and the chunky fat kid.
I love them.
They're a fantastic pair, but they get to a point where the boy has realized that he is in love with his partner, but he doesn't know how to say it.
And you can so kind of tell, though, in the first few episodes, like, when, like, they got captured, he was like, I need to get these hands off of you. Like, get off of my Kokoro or whatever
her name is. Yeah, her name is Kokoro. I can't remember what his name is. But he gets to a point where he's like, look, I want you to promise me something, Kokoro. Promise me that you will never fly with anyone else, that you will always let me be your protector. And she's like, of course. We'll always be together. And then the douchey couple, the girl in the glasses and...
She's not a douche. Marabasa, I think is what his name is.
Yeah, he's a mad douche, asshole. But she's also a little bit of a douche because she's emotionally aloof as well. Like, she doesn't really like to engage in conversation or even emotional stuff with the entirety of the group. She really keeps to herself. You don't know her motivation. So they together are a super douche group. They end up breaking apart because Marabasa can't keep his emotions and everything that's going on with him together.
Winky face.
And so their chaperone basically proposes a partner switch. And both of them say, yeah, they want to switch partners. And then their chaperone is like, okay, well, this is open to everyone. It's not a dictatorship. If anybody else is interested, then we'll try it. And if not, we'll move on. When the next day comes and she's like, okay, anybody else want to switch? Kokoro raises her hand and it like breaks the fat kid. He's just in his room crying. And he's just like, I don't understand why she wants to be with somebody else. I just don't get it. And why she would pick Marabasa, I don't even understand. And so they end up having to switch partners. And like Marabasa comes into the room with the guys and the fat kid punches him in the face, just tears and snot running down his face. Oh, and he's like, you better fucking protect her. I threw the fucking in there. He didn't say that. And he's like, no, promise me right now, vow to protect her. And he's like, why would I? Oh. And so you're just like, oh my God. So like he's in a pissed off state and they go into the fight with their pair swapped. Initially, Muribasa can barely get the Frank moving with Kokoro. Ultimately, he taps out at one point, realizing that he's not as good as Hiro, and you get some of his backstory. I'm not going to ruin it, but you start to understand where his alienation with everyone has come from.
Okay.
And you realize that Kokoro realized that he needed to have somebody call him out on his bullshit.
Oh, so that's why she did that.
Right. But it costs her because she's like, everybody thinks that I'm a goody two-shoes and things like that. She's like, I broke a promise to somebody very dear to me to do this. So I know what it's like to make a promise to someone and then turn around immediately and break it. I'm not a good person. She's like, but we're going to go through these things a lot. All of us are. It's not going to be one broken promise. It's going to be many. It's just a part of being who we are. And then she's like, and a part of us growing up. And you're like, oh, sweetie, you're not going to get to grow up.
Yeah. You're going to die way before you get a chance to spread that.
And as she's saying this to Muribasa, who's starting to come out of his shit, you can see that she has blood running down her face. Mm-hmm. So she's been hurt. Uh-huh. The fat kid in his mech is, like, completely focused on trying to keep this Klaxor that they're fighting from damaging the mech even more now that it's down on its knees. Muribasa finally comes out of his shit. Their sync goes over 90 and gets, like, close to 100 or hits 100. They're able to get back in the fight. They win the fight. They get out of the mechas. The fat kid punches Muribasa again, and he's like, fine, I promise. I'll never let any harm come to Kokoro. He's like, do that. And he walks away, crying, snot coming out of his face again, because he's totally in love with her. And he does eventually make a confession. And he's the first one to make a confession. And before she can say anything back, they end up back into another fight. You find that Zero Two, her horns are getting bigger and bigger, and she's starting to lose her grip on being able to control herself.
Is and that headband something that helps?
The headband is important.
Okay, because it seems like when that headband...
I'm not going to give it away, but the headband is very important.
Okay.
Very important.
Okay.
And you get further on into the fights and into episodes, you start to get her backstory. And...
Go ahead, tell me. Tell me.
Okay, all right. This is the last chance for spoilers, guys. So get out now.
Hit me with this shot.
So you see a flashback during a point where Hiro has merged with her and is going into her memories, and you see her as a child. She is completely red,
okay,
with green eyes and her horns. And she was captive in a building. So it is believed that she is an evolved Klaxor.
Oh.
And that's why she has a humanoid form. Because when she bleeds blue. So it's not that she has Klaxor blood in her. She is Klaxor. She couldn't talk. And she had a handler. And because she was so young, she was like maybe 4 or 5. It's all from her viewpoint of now being able to speak the language, understand, but she couldn't really make out the form. So her handler was just this blue person, but was obviously a caring person because... She's like, she constantly tried to teach me to speak, and she would feed me. And she was the only person in that whole place that was nice to me. And, you know, before she left, she gave me a picture book. And you can see this figure give her the book and is, like, petting her head and obviously is a mother figure and, like, is sweet and cares for her. And then she, like, dissipates.
Okay.
So she died. And she was taken from that facility to another where they wanted to experiment on her and learn that she was this weapon. But it was from that picture book that she learned how to understand language. She still couldn't speak. Well, she was in the facility that all of the kids in Group 13 were in one day Hiro saw her being tased by a bunch of people. And so that was the moment that he had decided that he was going to leave. And he had not yet gotten the serum shot that basically throws more yellow blood cells into kids. And it's what helps make them a parasite and be able to work in a pair and pilot a Frank.
Okay.
And so he decided he was going to get out and that this life actually really wasn't for him because there wasn't anything in the garden for him except for this girl. So he was going to rescue her. So he broke the both of them out and they were running through the forest. And, you know, he can't communicate with her because she doesn't really speak language or understand, but they're running away and they're protecting each other and they're fighting each other. And it looks like they're about to get away. And the guards from the plantation are able to find them. And he tries to protect her. And in the picture book, which he read to her in some of the nights while they were on the loose.
On the run? When they were on the lam.
It was about this prince and this princess. And so the princess would always refer to Prince as her prince darling. And so at the last moment when Hiro takes the butt of a gun to a head and like, oh, we'll just erase his memories. They'll never remember any of this. She starts screaming, "Dah! Dah!" So the darling that she's been looking for and the darling that she's been fighting all these Klaxors in order to, she believes, find a way to become human so that she can be human for her darling is actually Hiro. She doesn't recognize that it's Hiro until they have the memory merge. When they finish going through all the memories, Hiro now remembers the promise that he broke to Murabasa.
Ah, and that's why he got his panties in a wad.
Yep. He remembers the promise that he broke to Murabasa. He remembers that 02 is actually that little girl that he's running away with, who he had feelings for. So he now owns the fact that the reason why he's been drawn to her all this time has been that they were in love. And during their runaway, she had gotten hurt at one point and scuffed her knee and was bleeding blue. And because he didn't have any bandages, Hiro licked her wounds. So he got some of her blood in his body.
And that's
one of the reasons why they're able
infected.
To perfect pair and why he's infected.
Ah, because, yeah, there were many times where they bring up infected Stemmin and I'm like, what's wrong with him?
Yep. So that's how he got infected. That's why they're able to be a perfect pair. Plus, emotionally, they are connected because they are actually in love with each other. And that's one of the things that Dr. Franks was getting at, is that a perfect pair isn't made up of these two desolate, devoid of emotion men, boys and girls, but it is a pair of boys and girls who are, in fact, in love and wanting to protect each other that will ultimately make Franks reach their ultimate power. Right. So it's at that point that they, like, realize it. Some bullshit happens. They end up coming back together. When they come back together and they join in Strezlisa, she actually achieves a new form and becomes all red.
Ah.
And you find out that the Klaxors, very much this is where it gets and becomes a little bit like Gargantia. You find out that the Klaxors are actually not aliens at all, but are a different form of humans. So there was a split in the human race.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
And
so that's why she is a evolved Klaxor, because she is now taken on human form. That's why there's so many Klaxor that, like, bond together and form a bigger form, and it's a different form than their individualized forms.
Mm-hmm.
She is an individual that has reached a point that she has taken on humanoid body form again. But she's Klaxor.
Wow.
And so the pairs start pairing off. Okay, the pair that's with Ichigo, the girl who is like Hiro's sister, but not Hiro's sister.
Right, she doesn't want to be seen as Hiro's sister.
She wants to do him. She's in love with him.
Yeah.
But her partner is in love with her.
Yeah, Goro.
Yeah, Goro is in love with her.
And he's fully aware that she, like, even though they don't know what the feelings are, he knows that there's something there and he keeps trying to push her.
Yeah.
Even though I was like, oh.
He's like, because whenever we do these things, like, I feel this stuff in my heart. Like, when they do the reward and they get to go to the beach and so everybody's in swimsuits, all the boys are like, I can't stop looking at this. I'm not exactly sure why. And Goro's like, I'm a man too. I can appreciate. And oh my God. And you're just like, okay, all right, that's funny. That's cute. But it very much is kind of, for me, a little bit of Godanner, a little bit of Attack on Titan, a little bit of Kiznaiver, and a little bit of Space Dandy. And the humor, and the way that they bring humor out, and the moments that they bring humor out. So it's an interesting mix. I could do with the sexual innuendo stuff a little less, but I understand why they're doing it, because they are kids that are at a pubescent age. So, you know, there should be some hormone raging stuff going on. I get that.
It's a great duality, because as the viewer, you're like, why doesn't anyone make this joke? This is all low hanging fruit. And, you know, it really shows how naive, I mean, at least I was in perceiving this, because I'm just like, why is no one making this joke? Like, these two plantations are kissing, like, you're looking at hot butt every day, and, like, you don't even talk to your boys about it? Like,
yeah,
come
seriously.
On. And then,
like, every time you get in a robot, it's just, like, ass up all the time.
And then why aren't the more attractive boys like, hey, Sir Tubington, like, what's up with that? Like, no one says that, like, at all. Because, like, when I first saw the pairings, I was like, of course they give our tubby love man the cute, quiet, blonde, who barely opens her eyes. I'm like, she conniving. There's more in that brain than they're letting on. But it took
it's
me
way too much anime.
It's unfortunate that I can look at a character's design and the color of their hair and all that stuff and kind of figure out what kind of character they're going
to. Okay, so based on their hair color, their body build, and their blood type, this one's actually going to be an undercover bitch. This one is actually going to look like their tsundere, but they're not.
It's not even a matter of that. So case in point with Kokoro, like, her eyes are always shut, her hands are always folded, like, she has this poisonous demeanor, and she even said it. Like you said in the episode, she's like, everyone thinks I'm this goody two-shoes. But you know, the fact that her eyes are closed like that is kind of reminiscent of a fox face, which they use a lot in animes. And usually people who have, you know, their eyes shut like that all the time and use this fox face, like, build, it's because they're, I hate to say it because it's going to sound far more negative, but I need to get it all out.
They're conniving.
There is a deception somewhere. Whether or not it is fully bad or not.
Well, whether it's malicious or not.
Right, yes. Because, I mean, like, Chichiri from Fushigi Yugi, yep. Like, he wore a face. And you don't find that out until way later, and it's because he has, you know, this horrible scar, and he has it for, you know, and it haunts him. And that's why he wears the mask. So, like, it's kind of like a mask thing. So she wears that mask, you know, to appear one way, but clearly it's far more aware, and it's kind of playing the game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep. As
soon as I saw her, I'm like, no, you're not a pushover. I'm like, something's gonna happen. There'll be a tilt for you, and we'll see that there's more to you than, you know, your smile and your little cute laugh. There's more to you than that.
But yeah, it's a very interesting series, and, you know, it doesn't go, you know, 50% into anything. Every emotional aspect gets touched on, the nostalgia thing, the wanting to be more than you are thing. It doesn't take itself too serious. It doesn't take itself not serious enough. It's got a good mix of levity and a good mix of drama. And, you know, the animation is interesting. And, you know, even the fight sequences, like, they don't go on for too long, and they're not over in, like, a flash. You also have, you know, an introduction to the elite group, the Nines, that they're called. And I'm guessing that it was somebody rated 0, 0, 0, all the way through 9. And you find out that that was the group that 0-2 was originally in, but she left because she didn't really mix with them. And their snooty little asshole leader...
Oh, is he the one in the all white?
In the white, mm-hmm. And when you meet the Nines later on, they're all wearing white. So the type of uniform that they have is also tied to their ranking. And you run into other groups of children, and you start to realize that every plantation gets kids from the garden. You see them return to the garden, and you see just all these kids that are at a younger age now getting the serum injection that ups their yellow blood count. And oh, by the way, they don't all survive it. So, you know, there's a 50-50 chance when you get that injection that you die, and they're just giving it to every single child. So, again, it drives home the, you know, there is no value in the youth, and yet they are the ones that have to protect. And it still doesn't dive too deep into the becoming an adult. But one of the questions that the blonde-haired kid asks the old woman when he's visiting with her is, when did you become an adult? Because that's one of the things I'm looking forward to is, like, you know, when I'm done protecting all of the plantations and we've killed all the Klaxors, of becoming an adult and what that all means. And you see her kind of smile, and she starts to go, oh, sweetie, that can't happen for you. And before she can say the next sentence, which is, you can see you're about to tell him why, she's like, because you're, and then the guys break in and they take him and they bring him back to the group. So children don't grow into an adult. And I don't necessarily know that it's just because of them dying in battle. I think that,
or maybe something in the serums keeps them at that age, or they burn out before they even have the chance.
Well, they kind of allude to it in the, so I'm a fuck your, yeah.
Go ahead. Please do.
So they allude to it at the moment when they're seeing these kids, because they ask, you know, about Naomi. Because Hera's like, yeah, she went back to the garden. She went back to the nest when, you know, because they said that she was okay. She was recuperating and they were sending her back to the nest. So he asks where she is in the garden. And this woman who's overseeing the kids, she's like, oh, she's not here. No children ever return to the garden once they leave. So it's their first taste, and unfortunately they don't get to dive deeper into it because they're like, you all are supposed to be back here anyway. Everybody get back to the base. But what I believe and how I've interpreted that is that children are not allowed to grow into adults. There's only a finite amount of nourishment for people and for adults. There's only a finite amount of space in these moving plantations. So it's not like you can introduce new people until old people are going out. And these people are on sustenance to keep them alive for well beyond the normal, you know, 100-year lifespan. So therefore, I firmly believe, seeing as how these people don't give a damn when they are given these kids these serum, whether they live or die, if a child is not able to actually pilot a Frank, they are terminated. So if they have no use, they are of no use, they cease to exist.
So then, in that case, going back to episode one,
Naomi was not cared for and sent back to the garden.
No, but I'm just saying, like, literally, Hero was going to, like, he was opting to leave, not knowing that him leaving would have been him being murdered.
Correct.
Wow.
Yep.
That could make...
Blum, blum, blum.
That could lead to, you know, problems, not wanting to defend these old farts who don't give a damn.
Right. Right. And so then my brain goes, okay, well, you've got all these adults everywhere. Where did all these adults come from?
Right. Because here's what probably happened. At the time that the Klaxor stuff started really taking offense, scientists got busy doing their science. And at this point, they started revolutionizing, you know, illnesses and aging. And, like, at that point, maybe at that definitive point, whatever year this was, like, 30,000, you know, 3027, they were like, you will be the only, this will be what humanity is. There will be no other humanity besides this. Like, I bet government came in with all that stuff and regulated that. And you had your outbursty people who...
Well, you know, I think you're onto it there because, you know, all of the adults, with the exception of the military people, they wear these hoods that cover their entirety of their face, and the only thing that's left open is their mouth.
So...
And, like, they won't make physical contact. Like, at one point, they're getting a medal before they go to the city, the children, for successfully defending Plantation 13 and 26 during their kiss. And, again, the upstart kid, after receiving his medal and saying thank you, puts his hand out to shake the hand of the guy that gave him the medal. And the guy just looks down and goes, huh, and walks away. So I think you're onto something there. But it's a very interesting series. After I got to the second episode, I was like, well, we're marathoning this shit. And I ran through.
We got all the way to episode 6 because by the time we got there, it was like 1 a.m. And I was like, I gotta sleep.
Yeah, I was just like, nope, gotta ring this in, gotta close it down. So after watching the first, I think it was 3 episodes, the next day I was like, all right, well, we got 12 to do, so let's get to doing. And I watched from 4 to 12 all in one sitting. And I was like, all right, okay, I see where we're going with this. I like what we're doing. I like what I'm seeing. I like the character growth. Again, I do like the art style. So Darling in the Franxx, very interesting series. It's got some funny in it. It's got a bunch of serious in it. And it's definitely worth a check out. So if you have Crunchyroll, you definitely want to check it out there. I haven't seen it on Hulu yet. So I think that Crunchyroll and Verve, I think, are the only two places that you can stream it right now and see it. But definitely, definitely worth checking out.
I mean, I'm going to finish it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm not an adult. I find that stuff hilarious.
You play one on TV, though, really well.
I try.
So with that said, it's time to wrap up this podcast episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please, please, please subscribe. Leave us a review on iTunes. We love seeing them, or on Stitcher Radio. You can get the podcast in iTunes either on the desktop or through your iOS device on the podcast application. You can also find us in Stitcher Radio. You can also find us on Google Play. Hopefully we'll be on Spotify soon. Still waiting on them to hear that, but pretty much any place that you can find podcasts aggregated, you can find the Eshcast. So please subscribe, and that will ensure you will get our podcast episodes the moment we put them out new for your ear holes. So enjoy them. Cop that. If you enjoy the podcast, then definitely make sure that you check out our website as well as bookmark it. We've got a lot of great content submitted by all of the editors on our site, electricsisterhood.com. You can find the podcast there as well as our entire podcast archive. You can check out news, reviews, and previews from everybody on the team on a bunch of different topics, anime, manga, games, movies, comic books, you name it. We talk about it there on the site. So please make sure that you bookmark it. Share links to our stuff on your social because we love getting out there into the world and other people reading our stuff and commenting and sharing their thoughts and their opinions on these things because they matter to us, so they probably matter to you. So please, please, please make sure that you share our links, bookmark, come back. We've got new content going up daily. If you enjoy what we do here at Electric Sisterhood, then definitely make sure that you check out all of the other partners that are part of our network because they're creating some really fantastic stuff that I think you'll enjoy. That includes our homie King Baby Duck over at B3Crew.com. They're talking about games and music and anime and manga and comic books and movies at B3Crew.com. So bookmark their site. Check out KBD's podcast. It's a bi-weekly podcast where he spins music from artists that you know and probably a bunch that you don't in all different kinds of genres, including K-pop and J-rock. So definitely make sure that you check out his site and his podcast, bookmark it, like, do all that wonderful stuff, share on your socials. Our homie Hamsterman2049 from SmashedRook.com every Wednesday night is doing a live stream where he's playing games. You can join him in chat. He's on Twitch TV at twitch.tv/HandsomeMan2049. Retro games as well as current stuff. His Outlast playthrough was absolutely hilarious and probably the only time I will ever watch anything happening with Outlast. That's how much fun it was. So make sure that you tune in. You can get the links right to his streams on our Facebook page. He puts them out typically an hour before he goes live and usually is live at around 9 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday. So make sure that you're following us on Facebook so you too can be in the know of when he's going live. You can also subscribe to him on Twitch and then hit the notifications so that way when he goes live, you get the and know that he's live. So make sure that you do that. One of my more favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's recap and review. Oh my goodness, his Westworld recaps are so on fire this season. Definitely make sure that you check out and subscribe to his Phil's recap and review channel on YouTube. You will not be disappointed. You can call in and be a part of the show live. You can also be part of chat, and you can check out his entire archive of his live streams as well as his reviews and previews on his site, issuesprogram.com. And last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, whether it's comic books, manga, anime, movies, games, you name it. If it's nerdy, the nerds over at nerdcrave.com are talking about it. So please like, subscribe, hit us up on social. You can catch us on Facebook, facebook.com/Landavesh. We are on Instagram at ESH News, and we appreciate all your comments, double taps, and regrams. And we're on Twitter at ESH News as well. So if there's something that you'd like us to check out, or you want to comment on, or share your thoughts with us, or just be like, hey, I hope you live stream blah, 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 soon, then hit us up on our social, let us know, give us a like, give us a comment, give us a share, give us all those wonderful things that help show people that we actually matter to people, and we'll keep doing what we're doing. So until next time, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out, guys.
Titties.